Test 1, 2. All right, we're living and active. Sorry about my clutter around here. My wife would be on my case right now. Awesome. Good deal. Well, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming out. It is so much more fun to preach to people than chairs. And I really appreciate y'all taking the time. And I believe it's going to be worthwhile. And so we'll jump in here. We're going to do about 30, 45 minutes, take a little break, and then do another 30, 45 minutes and call it a day. So it won't be an enormous amount of time, but I think you're going to see some things here that you might not have ever seen before. I certainly have never seen them before, and I've been around a bit. And so I've been traveling and speaking for about 30 years. In fact, October 15th this year will be my 30th anniversary as a traveling evangelist. And that's changed its definition quite a bit in my life over the years. But I've always traveled, so I never get over it. I love traveling. I always feel like the coolest dude walking through these airports, you know, and my bags and all that stuff. And I just love it. I don't know why, but I do. It's just a big old bus, but I still enjoy it. So I want to get into some stuff here this morning. And I want to turn on my projector. And see, I think that should come up there. And so I want to get into some things this morning. We've been talking about beyond getting by. And I believe that Jesus really does have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And when you look at Scripture, the Scripture really indicates that there is this kind of blessed life that we as believers should be partaking in. And I think there's something really incredible about a number of years ago, I was looking at Abraham. And how was Abraham blessed? He was blessed with cattle and sheep and lands and all of the stuff, right? That's how the Lord indicated blessing to Abraham. And God is very good at blessing. And one of the things that is an interesting thing, my parents used to be in the jewelry business. And one day I made this connection that the word Jew and the word jewel might be related. And of course they are. And what happened was when the Jewish people were displaced and they went throughout the world, they've always been a hated people. And frequently they were not allowed to own land. And so they had to learn how to trade and speculate and get property that wasn't physical land. And so they started trading in precious stones. And those precious stones became known as jewels because they are part of the whole Jewish thing. That was their ability to trade and exchange. And these guys learned how to experience a huge amount of blessing through a means that was way off the radar of most people. It was an extremely innovative thinking to trade in jewels rather than in land. And that my point in that is this. God has an ability to bring blessing in your life even when all of culture and all of society seems against you. We were kind of grousing here at the table about property taxes and different things like that. And, you know, I want to just tell you something. There's something very exciting to me, and that is I am not a victim of the system. I am a person who Jesus lives in and Jesus can bless. And I just got to tell you, central planning doesn't work. And Jesus is smarter than the central planners. And there's nothing that can stop you from being blessed if you will surrender to him. But how does it work? There is a process how this stuff works and how it is that we overcome the hardships, overcome the perils, overcome the pain. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the problem with pain. And the problem with pain is not just that it hurts. A lot of times we come into pain and we're just going, man, I am hurting and I don't like where I am right now and I want this pain to go away. But we need to approach this from a biblical perspective. And so the scripture tells us a few things. And I'm just going to toss you super commonly known scriptures. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Right? Now, you guys, you might be in pain, but the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Isn't that right? The scripture says, for I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Right? That's Jeremiah 29:11. Scripture says, in the world you will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. Isn't that right? Perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. But we're not being punished because we've received the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so we should be able to transcend pain and the fear of pain. Now, how many of you guys understand that the anticipation of pain is much worse than the pain itself? Isn't that right? I remember, as I said last night, my dad put this incredible fear of the IRS in me when I was growing up. My dad had some run-ins with him, and as I told you, he'd sit around his chair and bawl and cry, and I'm going, whoa, the IRS must be the worst thing on the planet. You know, far worse than any mafiosos. These guys are the baddest, meanest, most evil people. Amen, right? Well, I'm not saying I like them. It didn't come around, but so one day I get this letter from the IRS. Boom, I'm getting audited. And I'm going, oh God. I mean, I just almost had a heart attack right there. It was the fear of my life. But let me back up just a little bit. Remember, I was telling you that story about how, I had gotten that prayer in my dad's rage thing and all that stuff. And the Lord had really healed me. And so I was in Petersburg, Alaska. And another pastor friend was kind of doing this. I thought, you know, I'm just going to do that again. And so we started... by that time I'd started my business and was going along in that business. And I remember one day I was in a restaurant with my brother, and I said to him, man, Barry, I think so much of what I do is motivated by fear. I mean, I'm going to get this book done because I'm afraid this guy's going to get mad at me. And I'm going to do this because I'm afraid of that. And I had so much of this. And I said, I think a lot of what I do is driven by fear. And when I said that, I thought, wow, that's kind of weird. And he looked at me and goes, it's not the way it is for me. It was Barry. I'm sitting in this office in Petersburg, Alaska. And I said, you know, I'd like to receive some prayer. And all of a sudden, I said to this lady, you know what I think? I have a fear of the IRS. I'm just afraid of them. And so we started praying. And all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit say something. He goes, and it was just, it's the sense of humor of God. He says, I'm not the IRS. This is God speaking to me. I'm not the IRS. In other words, what I had been saying was the IRS was God. By giving that kind of fear to the IRS, you know, you're only supposed to fear God, right? But I had given this fear to the IRS. And God was saying, by the way, you have elevated them to my stature here. And that's inappropriate. I'm God. And I am not the IRS. And the IRS is not God, conversely, right? And so I had elevated the IRS to the super high level because of these fears. So I got some prayer over that, and the Lord began to work in me. Well, then, about probably a year later, I get the letter from the IRS, and I'm getting audited. Well, it was time for that intellectual concept to become a reality, right? And so I go through this audit, and it went great. They ended up owing me money, and you know, And I always believe, guys, let me just tell you a little secret. Keep perfect records. And if you ever want to know how to do that, I can tell you exactly how to do that. Today, right at this minute, all of my books are accurate and to date. And tomorrow, they will be all up to date and accurate. And on Tuesday of next week, all of my books will be up to date and accurate for Tuesday. Anything I spend today will be in the books on Tuesday. And I will be ready for any tax, anything on Tuesday. And I can click a button and I can get any receipt anybody wants instantly to them, super fast. And if you want to know how to do that, give me a holler and I'll tell you exactly how to do it. It's super simple. So my philosophy is just do it super right and then punish them. And then don't take every single thing that you ought to take. Don't take every single deduction that you can. Keep a few just sitting there. And so then when you come into the audit, you nail them every which way. And oh, by the way, I think I'm going to put this down on the table. I'm going to put this down on the table. I'm going to put this down on the table. You will make that auditor wish he had never, ever pulled your number. So anyway, that's what I learned in that experience. And oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm all for abusing the IRS. And so I learned, you know, I went through this process. I'm positive I will be audited again. And our company's growing very, very fast. And that's one of those things that generates red flags. And so I'm positive I'll get audited again. And I'm kind of looking forward to the day. It'll be kind of fun because they'll regret that. And it'll be a bunch of time. It'll waste our taxpayers' money. And I feel like I'm getting a little back in revenge. But anyway, just joking around. So the anticipation of this audit, it's that fear of pain that positively had me just like, oh, you know, and then I just thought, okay, what's the very worst case scenario? What is the very worst case scenario? And then I thought, okay, what's the worst realistic worst case scenario, right? I'm going to owe a little money. It's not a lot because I'm honest and I've been doing things right. So the very worst case scenario, just say I really messed up. I might owe them $10,000. I mean, that's just I don't know where that would be, but I'm just saying, let's just get realistic here. Couldn't be more than $10,000. Of course, they ended up owing me. So, but the fear of pain that is much worse than the pain itself, isn't that right? And so pain comes into all of our lives, obviously. In the world, you will have trouble. But Jesus says, fear not, I have overcome the world. And so what happens when pain comes into our lives is we enter into a fearful state, and which pushes us into a fight or flight type of situation. We're either going to fight or we're going to run away, right? Now, fight or flight is not where creative thinking occurs. When your brain moves into a fight or flight mode, all creativity goes right out the window. Isn't that right? And so what happens is we come across a problem, and this pain is just imminent, and it rises up, and we just go, I just want it to go away. I don't care how it goes away. I just want it to not be here anymore. Just, can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Right? Well, when you get into that space, the problem with that is you're missing something. How about this scripture? And God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purposes. All things. All things. Including that thing that's scaring the stuffings out of you. God wants to use that. But if you're in a fight or flight mode, you're probably not going, Jesus, could we look at this together? Now, I want to introduce an idea to you. And I'm going to, in the second phase of this morning, I'm going to go into the very real spiritual process that we go through in this process. But what if instead of viewing pain and problems as super scary, terrible things that we're trying to avoid. What if we had such confidence when we saw the problem that we got intrigued? And we start going, oh man, there's something good here. There's something amazing here. There's something here that I'm going to walk away from that I've never seen before. And I'm going to be so much more effective than I have ever been in my entire life because this problem occurred. Now, that is the promise that we have as believers. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And God causes all things to work together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purposes. But what happens normally is the fear rises up and we're just going, right? And we just start trying to make it go away. There's a big difference between a workaround and a solution. Isn't that right? We got some engineers in the room here. And you all know the difference between a workaround and a solution. A solution solves that problem once and for all time. I have no IRS problem. Why? Because I solved that baby up one side and down the other. I went to my bookkeeper and I said, I hire an outside bookkeeper. And I went to her and I sat down. I want you to look at my books. I want you to tell me, is there anything in my books that would make the IRS give any kind of a sideways glance at me? And she's gone through it all again and again and again. There's nothing there. It's super, super solid. And so I solved the problem. So what can happen is if we start moving from a fear of pain to actually recognize that Jesus allowed this pain to come into your life so that He could actually use this to bring blessing to you. And you're going to see much, much more clearly in the second half exactly how He does this. He wants to actually use pain to bring blessing into your life. Because here's my little statement that I say to my company all day, every day. Every problem is merely a solution in disguise. The problem will actually take you right to the solution. And if you didn't have the problem is kind of like a marker. It's there, and if you see that problem as a marker where there's a solution that you've not yet been exercising, and then you go, well, let's look right down that marker. That's the solution to this problem. And I'm going to get a hold of that baby, and I'm going to exercise that solution, and I'm going to do it. Now, this is really a fascinating process to me, and I've now experienced this thousands of times in the process of building my company. And I've started to realize that I actually get excited when I come across a problem. So I'm working on a sales system right now. We've really perfected our product. Okay, so let me just give you a little background on who I am. I own a company. It's called Good Catch Publishing, and we write and publish local church testimony books. We did your church's local church testimony book. And so we interview your people, we create this book, and then we distribute it through the city. Well, we invented this concept, or I would more accurately say the Holy Spirit invented this concept, because the scripture says, no eye has seen it, no ear has heard it, neither has it entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those that love Him, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. And Jesus wants to bring some truly new things into the world, and this happens to be a truly new thing. It's called a 0-1 concept. If you're familiar, are you familiar with the idea of a 0-1 concept? Okay, so you're going to start a business, you go buy a Subway sandwich shop franchise. That's not a 0-1 concept. That's already been in existence. It's a known concept. Restaurants have been around for years. It's not a brand new idea, right? this company that I have is actually a zero-to-one concept. There was nothing like it before, nothing in publishing like it, and now there's this thing that did not exist before. So it went from zero to one, okay? And so whenever you have a zero-to-one concept, you have a lot of work on your hands because it's never been done before. And so you invent absolutely every phase of it, and so you do a lot of things wrong. That's why I'm so well-versed in pain. I've done everything wrong many, many times, and I always do it wrong the first three times. And about the fourth time, I usually find the answer. But in that process, what has happened is I'm starting to lose my fear of pain. So we're right now, we've got our product nailed. It's effective. It's going out. It's working all over the nation, and many, many people are coming to Christ. So now we're ready to ramp this thing up and go for it. And it took us 10 years to get to that point. And so now we're at year 12, and I'm trying to figure out how to sell this thing, how to make it move across this and sell these books to pastors and get this thing out there. So I go through the last 3 months, literally my last 3 months have been spent working on kind of an automated sales system. Go through the whole thing, do our beta test, zero response. Zero response. I did 3 months of hard work. I mean, every day busting away at this thing, all of the frustrations in trying to create something, all of the technological glitches that we all have every day, every nasty thing that happened. 3 months on this project, I go out, do my beta test, zero. No response whatsoever. And my son comes into, we work out of my home. He comes to work, he's my partner, and he comes in. And he and I, honestly, we were giddy. It was just like, this is awesome. Now, I'm not saying I prefer failure to success. I much prefer success over failure. But let me tell you what happened. All of a sudden, I realized, we've got a data point. We've got a data point. We actually know something now. We tried this, we went through all this series of events, and we know that doesn't work. You guys, that's super valuable information. It's super valuable information. And very frequently, that will point you in the direction that you want to go. But here's the huge differentiating factor. Jesus says in John chapter 6, 28 and 29, he says this. These people came to him and they said, "Sir, what must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus said, "The work of God." The singular work. They said works. He said work. The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent. If you're going to get beyond getting by, you're going to have to really learn this thing about trusting Jesus. You're going to have to really learn that this pain is not God. The IRS is not God. That this challenge that you're facing is not as big as Jesus Christ. And that Jesus is able to conquer it. And so if he has allowed pain to come into your life, he is telegraphing a message to you. And that message is, hey, got a better way. And if you will embrace that better way, your life just got better. You moved from getting by to excelling. And Jesus wants each one of us to excel. So the very first thing that I think as Christians we've got to understand is that actually you need to learn to love your problems. And when I say love, I mean revere and respect and be fascinated by and intrigued by your problem. And when you can get there, and the only way you can do that is because you're trusting Jesus. Because if Jesus is not in control, we live in a random world. Right? And if we live in a random world, then there may not be any solution to that problem. It may just be going to blow your head off and that's the end of the story. But if he truly does have plans to prosper us and not to harm us, and if he truly does cause all things to work together for good, and if he truly has caused no weapon formed against us to prosper, then we can look at these moments in confidence, and that changes the game altogether. The fight or flight thing goes, and then we're able to move into a creative thinking realm enhanced by the Holy Spirit. And when we move into that creative thinking realm, enhanced by direction from the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you guys, all of a sudden the potential starts to grow, and it starts to move, and it starts to change. Just a quick little illustration. So in 2008, economy crashed, my business went down the toilet. I literally sold one book the entire year. When I say sell a book, what I mean is a project. And it was just terrible. So I'm, you know, my son had invested 5 years at that point, and he had made nothing, and he had worked and lived in my home, and now he's 25 years old, and he hasn't been dating girls because he doesn't have any money, he said, "Dad, I'm with you. Let's go there." The very last thing in the world I wanted to do was fail, because my son had bought in. And that was just the sickest thought I could think of. And I'm praying. I'm saying, "Jesus, I don't get it. I think this concept is amazing. I cannot imagine it not working." And so I'm driving down I-5. And all of a sudden, I get a call from my son. "Hey, there's some people down in Texas, over by Houston. They want to give our books away in the prisons. And they were wondering if you'd put a button up on the website to get some donations to help get books into prison in Texas." And all of a sudden, this triggers a thought. We need to get behind this. And so I went and I created a little sign-up sheet. And I went to this little dinky church down in east of Medford, Oregon. And I preached that Sunday morning and said, "Oh, by the way, we're wanting to send books to Texas. And if you would like to sponsor 5 books a month or 3 books a month or 2 books a month, here's how you can do it. Sign up on this sheet and we're going to start sending books to prison." Boom, right after the service, 16 people went back there and sponsored books. I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. So now we're ministering in these prisons and I got these 16 people sponsoring the books. That's kind of cool. I thought, wow, that's interesting. Well, then I started thinking, what if instead of our old model, we switch to this new model when we do a local church book, instead of having the church pay everything, let's have individual sponsor books. And we did that, and it exploded. Suddenly, our average purchase was 28 books a month from a local church. And we went from 28 books a month to an average of about 100 to 150 books a month. It was a dramatic change. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. If we hadn't hit that crisis of 2008, and if we hadn't almost gone belly up, I don't think my antenna would have been up for a solution. The problem was marking a solution. There's a solution down here at the bottom of this marker. And this marker completely changed our entire structure of our company, and it made it so that we went into a hyper effective place. And you guys, I want to encourage you that pain is your friend. I know that sounds weird. Pain is your friend. Whenever you go, "Ouch," take note. Stop. Try to sit there and define that problem. Don't just say, "I want it to go away, I want it to go away, I want it to go away." But sit there and look at it and take it apart. Fondle it. Enjoy it. Think about it. Consider it. discover everything you can about that problem. How did it begin? What are its ramifications? What will it produce if I don't solve it? What if I do solve this problem? What would happen if I solve this problem? Not only would it produce this benefit, but I would have this serendipity and that serendipity and this other serendipity. That's what happens when you start solving these problems in your life. Now, I'm going to give you a real simple thing that has utterly changed my life. And it's so simple, it's going to sound stupid to a lot of you. But many of you are not doing this, and you really need to. Some of you may, the more organized types. Okay, I am not by definition organized. I am very much not an organized person by nature. I'm the guy that goes and throws my shirt off my body and, you know, don't worry about making my bed and all that kind of stuff. That's me. I'm a slob. And by nature, I am married to the neatest of neat nicks. And so she has mended me. And I'm much, much, much better. I actually made my bed this morning. And it actually bugs me now not to have my bed. Well, I'm proud of you, RJ.
Same,
well,
same reason.
Is that right? Well, you're much more that way than I am by nature, I can tell. But I'm not by nature a neat nick or an organized person. And I read this book. It was called Work the System. I highly recommend this book. If you are interested in business or just honestly, it's a life skills book. It's called Work the System. It's by a guy named Sam Carpenter. So I read this book, and he's talking about how all of our problems, many of our problems, are the result of not having a good system. And so I'd been traveling for, at that time when I read this book, 20 years. And I have never had a packing list. In those 20 years, never had a packing list. And this is how I packed. I would pull my suitcase out, and I would look at my feet. Well, I need shoes. And inside those shoes are socks. And then I need pants. I need underwear. I need an undershirt. And I just go up my body and dress myself. And then I get to my mouth. I need my brush, my teeth, so I need my toiletries bag. Right? That's the way I did it. But I always forget something. There's always something I was forgetting. And So I thought, you know what? I'm going to make a packing list. It's a system. And so I created this packing list. And I know this sounds stupid, but you guys, you cannot believe how much that changed my life. I travel all the time. I need a packing list. By the way, if you traveled twice in the next 3 years, you should have a packing list. And because what happens is, you're going along in your day, and I keep my packing list on. I use Google Keep. It's a little note system and a little check boxes. And I'm going through my day, and all of a sudden I think of something. Oh, I need to add this to my packing list. And I just add that to my packing list. Nothing gets added anymore just because I've done this long enough now that it's all been fixed. In fact, now I've taken a few things off because I don't use those anymore. Times change. Anyway, so I had this huge trip the other day. I'm blasting down to Oklahoma City, get back at midnight, and then I have to leave at 6 the next morning, so I have to leave for the airport at 4 a.m., and I have to pack for my next trip. I'm whipped. I come into my house, throw my suitcase out, pull my packing list out. I am brain dead at the moment, but I can read. And so I pull out my stuff, and I get down to the last checkbox, and I close my suitcase, and you want to know what? I had everything I needed, and I knew when I went to sleep that night that everything was going to be just fine the next day. It took all the stress out of my life, and that little packing list changed my life. So then I get audited by the IRS, and it took a lot of work to get ready because we weren't as organized then as we needed to be, and I thought, you know what? I'm taking that concept, and I'm creating a system. So I said, I'm going to create my daily bookkeeping system for my administrator. And so I went and I sat down with my professional bookkeeper, and I said, what all needs to be done? How do we need to do this? And created all these systems, and then I have an alarm that goes off on my administrator's desk, and every single day she pulls out this checklist and she does those five things. When she does those five things, by 10 o'clock every single weekday, my books are updated and accurate and ready for an IRS audit, complete with receipts and everything. And boom, 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 boom. super, super simple. I have no bookkeeping problems because of that simple little system. And guys, the more you can systemize your life, the easier it gets. I started having trouble because my phone would run out of battery and I'm traveling through an airport and I can't, you know, get there. So what do? I buy 4 backup batteries. I have them in my backpack. I've got one in my pocket right here. When this battery dies, swap it out, boom, I'm good to go. I love a problem because when you love your problem, you're going to be able to see the solution, okay? And so that's the problem with pain. The problem with pain is actually that we don't see what it really is, that it's a gift from God, that it's not something that we are trying to work around. It's something that we can actually solve. And when we solve these problems, you can actually solve a problem so well that you don't ever have that problem again. You really can. And you can do that over and over and over in your life until you just have almost no problems. It's really, really weird. We're writing, like I said last night, 25 books right now. I don't know if you can imagine how complex that actually is. It is fantastically complex. Do you know that I only ever even hear about a book? Maybe 1 out of 20 that anything ever gets back to me until I'm either launching it and then frequently I'm not even launching it. Do you realize how many problems I don't have? I should have lots of problems, but I almost have none. And what happened was this process here. Now I'm going to go into this. This was kind of the practical thing that I'm wanting to share with you. Now I'm going to go into the spiritual reason why this is true in the next session. So I want to just pray for you right now. Dear Jesus, I pray for my brothers right now. And I ask, Father, that I know that there's guys that are sitting here and they are in pain today over something. There's something that's bugging them. Something that's irritating and something they're just going, man, I just wish this would stop. And Lord, I pray that you would take them beyond that fight or flight place and take them into a place of faith, that they would start to say, Jesus, what is it that you're wanting to show me? What do you want to reveal to me so that I can move beyond just getting by and I can enter into a place of fruitfulness? Lord Jesus, I pray that we would start being the warriors that you've called us to be. That we would come and we would say, let's go after these problems. Let's get into this thing. Let's get up close and personal to it. And let's ask Jesus to start giving us that revelation that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and neither has it entered into the mind of man. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Jesus, I believe that you have a level of provision and blessing and effectiveness for each of us that we have never dreamed of. And I pray, Jesus, that you would grace us to trust you, that really truly is the most fundamental issue in this whole situation, is we're not trusting you, that you really brought this to us to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, take a little break here.